Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. And I got the topic set up for you, Matt. Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl. I know it's what you wanted to talk about this week. Was able to make the game.
You're a pain in my ass.
She was able to make the game. That's all that matters. I think they didn't show her for like more than a minute, which is kind of crazy because at the end of the game, they showed her kissing Travis Kelce for like, it felt like an eternity. So I don't know how they, if they counted that, maybe they didn't count that segment because it technically wasn't during the game. And I know how they like to cut numbers. But with her help, Matt, Super Bowl TV ratings through the roof. Highest rated game of all time. Most watched game on CBS, I think. I mean, basically, it's the most watched TV show of all time on a single network. They also put it on Nickelodeon. Did you know that?
I did.
Did you watch that?
I did.
Because I watched one game on Nickelodeon, and I was kind of confused because it was one of those late season ones, and I'm like, hey, my guy's on TV. Let me just click this pop-up for Paramount Plus. And I'm like, this is the goofiest coverage I've ever seen. Like, what is going on before I realized that the ad took me to the Nickelodeon one, and I'm like, oh, I can just switch over to the CBS one and then get the regular broadcast. Why would they do that to me? And so I wonder if someone watched the Super Bowl like that and was like, what are they thinking? Because it is different. They like have little kid things and they have like little graphics and everything's totally geared towards kids. So I'm surprised that they did it because I feel like if you're a parent, you're not going to want to watch the Nickelodeon. And I don't think a parent's ever going to be like, hey, kiddo, I know that you probably want to watch TV, but I'm going to make you watch Nickelodeon Super Bowl instead. You can watch anything on Netflix or whatever you want to stream, but now you're going to watch Nickelodeon Super Bowl. Help those numbers out. I will point out, though, that remember, the TV ratings changed to where now they include fake data, right? I know we brought this up a couple years ago when they made the switch, but now they don't really count everyone's TVs. They're making a guess, but now they're also counting in extra random TVs because they're counting sports bars. So they'll say, how many sports bars watched it? 100? That has to be like another million people. And they're just adding in extra people. Because why not, right? Because the ratings are down. Like, I think they came back with, what was on TV like a week or two ago? Was it the Grammys? I can never keep them straight. But they were talking about how it's back. Ratings are up. It's like 15 million. And I thought, more people watched Michigan beat Ohio State for the third time in a row than watched the Grammys or whatever the most popular music. I think it was Matt Grammys, right? Unless it was the Oscars. I don't know the difference. I think Grammys is music. But no one cares. That was on regular TV for free. Some of the Michigan playoff games I had to suffer through were at on ESPN only. And we're going to talk about that because they're making a push for more college football rights later in the show. But I want to stick on the Super Bowl for now. They had a chance to really push it over the top. And honestly, they got lucky with a great game. I'm going to go ahead and point out that I don't really think Taylor brought more people to the Super Bowl. I think it's just a mix of they're adding more random people in. And guess what? That was actually a great game. That was one of the best Super Bowls that I can remember. Other than watching a little bit biased of my opinion of Tom Brady, how he was winning Super Bowls, those were always enjoyable to me. And they had that overtime game a couple years ago. I think the ratings were bad for that because that was when the NFL was in their downswing. Now they kind of don't focus on the politics stuff anymore. Back to football. Ratings are climbing back up. That's all it is. Plus, it's on more networks now with the streaming. So they added all those in. I think on TV, it still would have been the most watched if you just focus on CBS. But if you add in the Nickelodeon and the other NFL network or something they said it was on, that you would get an extra 3 million people from those two networks. Which makes sense. Like I said, I'm surprised that they even counted people on, had people on Nickelodeon. How would they know the number? they're just guessing. Because I think some of it's surveys. Like, they call someone, they're like, what do you watch right now? Nickelodeon. They're like, Super Bowl, check it out, baby. Because, like, there's no one, they don't know who's watching the games for real. But the ratings came back, and they were high, of course. And it's higher than, I think, what a lot of people expected. Now, my thing on why Taylor didn't bring any people to the game is because casual fans already tune in to the Super Bowl for ads and halftime show. So I want to get your thoughts. What did you think of the halftime show?
I thought it was okay. I feel like they're trying to just do these super mashups now. And
wasn't it a secret? Or maybe I just don't care enough. But I thought they were like surprising you with people coming out. I only knew Usher was going to be there, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, I remember when it was Dre and Snoop and 50 Cent, maybe, and then, like, they randomly had, or no, they had, it was supposed to be Eminem, and then they randomly had 50 Cent.
And he was, like, hanging upside down.
Yeah, it was
and,
ridiculous how they presented him.
You know, kudos to him, because I saw a recent photo of him, and definitely looked like he went back to the gym after his Super Bowl appearance, and people were making fun of him.
The one thing that stood out to me too with this one, and like for 50 Cent one too, is like I thought they pre-recorded it, and like Usher came out of tune, and so did the piano girl. Was that Alicia Keys?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because I never know what people look like. Because like, when did I last see her? You know. But they were started out of tune, and then it took a little bit for them to get back in tune, and then they really hit their groove. And I was thinking, like, was that their best take for them to lip sync to? Like, because she sounded really nervous at first. Like, it was like, I was like, oh, this sounds awful. And then once she warmed up a little bit, then it was all right. But then, like, Usher got into his groove. And then I was kind of thinking the same thing when he was rollerblading. Like, that has to take some of the wind out of him, right? So maybe they lip sync that part. Maybe there's, like, certain parts they do. I don't know. But it was more elaborate than what I expected. I honestly didn't know like any of his songs, to be honest, either, which I was surprised. I think I was getting him and maybe R. Kelly mixed up. Is that a thing? Maybe it's too much of the Chappelle show. Because then they have wasn't Little John there too? Am I wrong?
Yeah. Yes.
Because I only know him from the Chappelle show too. I was like, hey, I know that guy. I didn't know the other guy. I thought that was like the guy from Black Eyed Peas, but then someone told me that it wasn't. So I felt like a big idiot. I'm like, damn it. Why even open my mouth? But maybe I'm right. I don't know. I stood on that. They said some name, and I'm like, never heard of that guy. And you're right. They have been doing the mashups, trying to hit on, like, I don't know, I guess people's nostalgia a little bit. But that would have been our era, I would think. And I still didn't know the songs. Maybe I'm a little bit more old school than that. Like, I knew more of the Dre and Snoop stuff than what was on the Super Bowl this year. But I did like the performance. I did like the rollerblading. I did like they'd ripped his shirt off. Because, like, he came out in that stupid jacket, and I thought, this is going to be a disaster. Why is he wearing that? He has to take it off. He looked so uncomfortable. And then he finally stripped everything down just to show that he's still in shape, right? Because, like, well, I wonder how much work he put in.
I did see that was one of the things that you could have taken a prop bet on if he was going to take his shirt off.
See, but I wasn't that familiar with him. Like I said, I thought I was going to know more of the songs, but I didn't. So, like, I wouldn't have been able to take a gamble on that. I thought he might have been like Nelly too, but Nelly's different, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't remember a lot of the hip hop rapper guys from that era. I guess he's more R&B though, right? Wasn't Usher that?
Yes, and that would have been around the time that you were in college too, which says you were not in with the popular music of your time.
Well, if you go out, are you really listening to the music? You're more like yelling over it, trying to talk to people. right? Trying to talk to girls. You're not sitting back thinking, this is a great groove, man. And psh, would you be quiet for a sec? And I'm not sitting around watching MTV either, right? That's why I feel like I know more of the 90s stuff, because like when you're growing up, TV's on, or at least Yo MTV Raps on at my house. Most people don't have that same experience with their dads, but that's like what's on, and that's how I know a lot more of the 80s and 90s stuff. I don't, once it's like past that point, like if you're going out, I hate going out and like at the, like if you go out to the club or something and the music is just so loud, to me that just annoys me. I would rather have earplugs in, to be honest. Maybe that's why I'm out of touch. But just wait, because every year I feel like it's going to get more into the distant future. So like 10 years from now, I don't even know if I'll know the music at all. Because I don't listen to the radio. Because with streaming, and the same with sports, that's why I don't think people are tuning into the Super Bowl to see Taylor Swift. Why would you do that? You could just watch her entire concert on Disney Plus or whatever app it was on, right? Don't they have her new tour on there? So what would be the point of her fans watching her unless they thought that she was going to get proposed to? I think I saw people betting on that. But that would have been insane. Did you see Kelce yell at Andy Reid?
Yes.
Has a player yelled at you like that, coach?
See, I was asked about that. And I feel like the optics of it, of him going up and like almost knocking him down, were like really bizarre. But I would just be curious as to like what the context was of like the commentators were speculating that he was saying he should have been out on the field for that play.
Yeah.
And you know, if that's the case and like you're wanting to, like it's a fiery moment and you're wanting to do that, like I get that. To me, I'm probably more liberal than most coaches. I don't see that as big of a deal because it's not like he was continuing to be a problem after that. He wasn't throwing his helmet, he wasn't carrying on, there was no additional back and forth after that. It was like he snapped. It was just like if the reports were true and he's saying that he should have been in the game to help with that blocking or whatever, like he wants to win and him being in the game definitely gives them a better chance of doing that. So I don't have a problem with that at that level.
Now
go ahead.
Now you go ahead first.
No, I think it's a completely different issue at a high school level or things like that where it's an extracurricular activity, not millions of dollars on the line.
So when you were a player, did you ever yell at your coach like that?
Well, that's a long time ago.
So you don't remember your playing days? Maybe you have CTE.
Maybe I'm pretty sure that I do. I know there were times that I would be frustrated with stuff, but I don't think that it was ever to that point.
I only remember one time that my coach was like pissed off because I think it was high school baseball, not summer league, but I get up to the plate and my brother, he, for whatever reason, coach switched me and my brother. My brother was more of a power hitter. I should have been in the three spot, and my brother should have been the power hitter. Because there were like three or four times where I'd crush the ball like in the gap, and he would run slow, and it would like hold me to a single. And I'm like, bro, come on. What are you marching around out there? Like I'd tell coach, like he's more power than me. I let me hit a double, and then he can hit me in, right? So I get up one. I remember I don't even know what the hell. I know it was a home game because he like yelled at me in front of it. Like his coach's dad had to come down, but he gave me the bunt signal and I shook him off. So he called timeout and he was like, do you not remember the signals? I said, no, I'm not bunting. I know the signals. What the hell are you talking about? And so then he's like, no, I want you to bunt. I'm like, I already told you no. So I get in the batter's box. He gives me the bunt signal, and I shake it off again. And then they called another timeout. They're like, hey, if you call another timeout, he's going to have to sub or whatever. And I was like, he's like, bunt the ball. I was like, I'm not bunting. So I get up, and he's like, we just need to run or whatever. He's just furiously signing, right? And I get up. My brother's on first. I'm pretty sure he wanted me to move him over. I'm like, even if my brother gets it like a hit, he's not scoring from second, like, right? So of course I hit it in the gap, and I actually make it to a double. So I get a double, and he's just furiously staring at me, and everyone in the dugout is just like dead quiet, because they're like, oh, he's dead, right? Who shakes the thing off? So, and I don't even know what happens. I just know that at the end of the inning, he comes out, he's running out, and right behind home plate, he's just yelling, freaking out. And I wasn't the one yelling like Kelsey. I'm just thinking, in the moment, that's probably how Andy Reid felt. Because you have some guy just yelling at you that you should have bunted, or you shouldn't have been on the field, right? Or I should have been on the field. And you're like, come on, I'm the coach. I know what I'm doing. Like, I knew I was going to hit a double. Come on, coach. Don't make me bunt. And I remember that just for whatever reason, I was kind of a bit of an asshole myself. So he's like yelling, like, don't ever shake off signs, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, coach. He's like, even major league players or something take their signs. They don't shake them off. I was like, you know who doesn't ever bunt? I'm like, Barry Bonds never bunts. And he was like, you think you're Barry Bonds? He just lost it. So his dad came running down from the bleachers and was like breaking us up. So I've been a part of the old coach scuffle. Now, this is before social media time, but
now I'll tell you this one, because this was early in my coaching career that I had a player that was, we had explained that there was going to be, we were rotating players around in the backfield. And as coaches, we were talking, and I said, I know that conditioning wise, guys are going to struggle, and we have to game plan around the fact that one or two guys are going to by the second quarter, third quarter are going to be cramping because it's really hot, and we just couldn't condition them without injuring them the way they needed to be ready to go. So planning around knowing guys were going to cramp up, like we're telling guys, be ready so that we can rotate you in. Well, we had a player that just completely went right off the deep end and just started like screaming and cussing and saying all kinds of stuff, to a point that it was like it had to be addressed. It couldn't be something that you could just write off as a heat of the moment thing. And as we were like the more aggressive his approach came, the more it was like, I can't play him now, because if he's carrying on like this, like the entire team's going to think that they have the ability to act like that. And we took him out, and then it set off a huge spiral of events. but that's, I think Andy Reid handled it well, that knowing that all the cameras are on, knowing that it was the heat of the moment, like I don't even think like they even went back to any of the stuff with it. It was just like, it was one play. He didn't like take it out of context, and they move forward. And it's probably one of the reasons why they ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, that's where, if you think about it, the coach has to do the balance. Cause even in my example, like I don't remember any other beefs with coach other than that one. He also didn't give me the bunt sign ever again. So I wonder if it worked out for Kelsey. Like, did he get taken out again? Or did he just stay on the field? I do know that Swifties were concerned, Matt, because that's telltale signs of domestic abuser. yelling at authority figures like that. I read a report. I kid you not. This is the kind of stuff I'm getting now on my social media because we talk about it on the show. They said that at the celebration party, security had been following Travis Kelce around like an escaped tiger from the zoo, making sure, because they knew that he was a threat. So they're around him at all times, making sure that he didn't get out of control. And her fans are very concerned that sometimes she's alone with him. But there are others that think that they're not even dating. Did you know that?
I don't keep up with it. Like, I brought it up early in this process, and you've just taken it to a whole nother creepy level.
Matt, this is Super Bowl recap stuff. I don't know what's creepy about it. She pounded a beer. Was that threatening to you?
Or was it just a water? How did you know it was a beer?
I saw a picture of her flexing with a player on the field. And if you're not drinking beers, you're not doing that.
Maybe it was just apple juice, and you know that you have half a billion followers on all your social media.
Well, that's why the haters think that it's a fake relationship and she's just doing weird things because she's weird. They're convinced that she's like a robot fake girl. Like, not a real robot, but like that she's like just conditioned to be awkward. And so she just does these awkward things for publicity. Like, people tell her what to do and then she just does them. And I'm like, that'd be weird. But then Britney Spears had that, right? Wasn't that her whole thing? Her dad was telling her what to do. So maybe that's true. You never know in today's world. If it finds out that she was being controlled for like 20 years and then her and Kelce aren't like together. But like her brother's with her. Like, that'd be weird, don't you think? Your brother starts dating like a pop star and it's like, hey, come watch my game or my show or something. It's like, you're going to sit with my girlfriend. There's going to be a lot of cameras on you. So don't do anything weird like take your shirt off. And he still took his shirt off like the last game. So it's like, what are you doing, buddy? Come on. You're taking she's there to take the pressure off you. Just act normal.
No. Guess what? I applaud Jason Kelce's antics. And I know that if my brother was dating Taylor Swift, I'm not changing who I am. She's going to have to just lean right into that life. Am I going to take my shirt off randomly? Yes. Am I going to get belligerently drunk at inappropriate times? Yes.
I know they're talking about how he makes so much money from ads and how he's the star of the team. I'm like, Mahomes is the star of the team. Are you guys drunk? What are you talking about? Kelce's the star of the team. I don't even remember him making an impact play. Did he? In the Super Bowl?
Auto. Of course he did.
Auto. Yeah. See, you know, even the commercials. You're making fun of me for making jokes about Taylor Swift, but you're bringing in commercials that would never cross my mind throughout the day.
Well, the only reason that I thought of the commercials is it was the first year that it's like, oh, great. I don't have to do a Tom Brady a Super Bowl. Fucking face was all over every commercial.
Who, my man Tom?
What Tom do in retirement? He just was in every blessed commercial during the Super Bowl. Like, I can't get away from him.
I know, I got a text. It's like, your man is all over the commercials. I'm like, which man? And then I got another text. It's like, your man has had an ad in the Super Bowl. I'm like, guys, be specific. I don't know who the hell you're talking about. Because my other guy, RFK, did you see he had an ad during the Super Bowl? Not to get political, but he did his Kennedy ad and then he apologized for it. He's like, I didn't know they're gonna run that, but then he pinned it to his Twitter. And then Tom Brady's like, Tom Brady's coming in, and like I talked about how great the game was, but people should feel bad for me. I'm like, let's be real, because I had to sit through an entire Super Bowl with Tony Romo talking. And it was just, that was the worst day, the worst thing. I was like, I can't really mute it because I like the excitement. It's not as exciting. I don't care what anyone says. College football crowds are way better than NFL crowds. They kept showing a DJ. Who the hell needs a DJ to pump you up? And the DJ's like, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm too old, but the DJ culture stuff is just weird. Like, the guy's getting all into it, all you're doing is hitting play on an MP3 player, buddy. What are you doing? So when they kept showing that guy, I'm like, get him off the stage. But I will say Tony Romo was annoying. I honestly thought he was going to kiss Mahomes after the game. Because he was down there and he's like trying to hug him. And Mahomes kind of like brushing him off. And I was like, it made me uncomfortable. I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to kiss him. But then he didn't. And I'm glad. Because that would have been weird. Because he always brings up his playing time. And it's like, why? What did you do? Do you talk about the butt fumble? No. What are you bringing up then, buddy? Because even...
he's talking about dating superstars.
Does he date a famous person?
Well, he was with Jessica Simpson. She was in the box for the Dallas Cowboys games.
I don't remember that.
They're like, oh... This is
why I need you on the show. You know every pop star that's dating guys. You know all about it. I don't even know.
Well, because the same thing. When Jessica Simpson was there, they were always showing her. And TV ratings went up. She was worth viewing on TV.
I will say this. I don't think they showed the Niners booth at all. Right? They showed Purdy. That's the one thing. So, for the Chiefs, they show, like, Taylor Swift and, like, some people are with her. I'm like, who are these people that she's even with? I wish they would do, like, the pop-ups and, like the VH1 pop-up video where they have, like, tags of who the people are. Because, like, I recognize sometimes Jason Kelce. I don't know the other people. And then for the Niners, they're just showing random old people in the stands. And I'm like, is that their parent? I don't know. Who are you showing? Give me a pop-up and tell me who that is. Just put random fan so that I know you're just showing a random fan and not like someone's mom. Because it would be like, there was one where there was a play. They went to a mom and they lingered on her for like 10 seconds. And I'm like, you're not even talking about who is that? What the heck? At least just show the player. I was happy with myself though, because that one Niners guy, he celebrated that one play, blew out his Achilles, Matt. One play. He couldn't even get through it. I must have watched. Did you see that play?
I watched that clip, and I kid you not, at least 50 times in a row. And I tried to, like, play it as slow as I could. I don't even know, like...
You think he's faking it?
I couldn't see, like, at what point does he do anything that causes the injury? Like, you don't see... I didn't see anything out of the ordinary that would have been like, oh... He hyperextended this, or like something popped. Like it just, he ran out and just fell down. It was like, I'm embarrassed. I'm done.
See, that's where I was proud of myself, because I celebrated an entire national championship run jumping around. We talk about getting hurt all the time. No injuries for me celebrating a play. But he's in the biggest stage. He's on TV celebrating. You know, people take clips of themselves like celebrating and they post it on YouTube for some reason. And then it's like, all right, here we go. He got hurt and ruined the Super Bowl for himself. Because his team was winning. And let's be honest, the Niners should have won that game.
Now, random, hypothetical. For the national championship game, if Michigan would have blew it, would you have punched your TV?
I went out. I couldn't be home.
Well, would you have? Would you have punched a TV at the place that you were watching the game from?
No, nah, probably not. I'm used to them blowing it.
So, I see all these reaction videos of like, and usually it's Dallas games that I see, like when Dallas blows it in the playoffs, like their fans are like smashing TVs and like, why would you do that? Like, why is that a shock to you?
I did see one, or I've seen it in real life one time playing video games where a guy lost and he got up and smashed his control, like spiked it right into the ground and then just left. And I was like, what the hell, dude? It's just a video game, bro. What are you doing? And so like, that's how it would feel to me. Like if Michigan would have blew it, like even against Alabama or like TCU last year, where it was kind of just like, damn, that was probably their best chance. What are they doing? Harbaugh, like, what are you thinking? And it was more like this year would have just been a disappointment. Like, of course we lose to Washington. Of all the teams, that's a team that you should just blow out, which they ended up doing. It's like, that's a team you should blow out. It's like a gift-wrapped national championship. Like, hey, congrats for beating Bama. You guys get to play Washington. Just like last year, Georgia. Hey, you guys beat Ohio State, and they missed that field goal. Now you guys get to kill TCU. Awesome. And they're like, yeah, we're happy to do it. That's like how Michigan was this year. Because I saw everyone, like, even the Washington guys, everyone was like, you nervous? You nervous? Because I went out to watch it with the Michigan alumni thing. And I'm like, no. I'm only, like, waiting for the inevitable, like, fumble or interception or, like, boneheaded play where we blow it. But I'm not nervous because we should kill these guys. And then they ran, Donovan Edwards ran those two long touchdowns, and I thought, this game's basically over. And then Harbaugh did his conservative thing, which makes the game more nerve-wracking than what it should be. And that's where I've thought about this since when watching the 49ers during that Super Bowl. If the Niners owner wasn't a giant douchebag and he wouldn't have pushed Jim Harbaugh out, and let's say that he had stayed through this entire run, because if for people that don't remember or just didn't follow the Niners, the owner said there was some strife with Trent Baalke, who I think worked with the Jaguars. I don't know if he's still there or not. And Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh wanted some certain type of players. Baalke and them, he went to the owner and was like complaining about Jim Harbaugh, saying he's hard to work with. Literally, the only time that anyone has ever said it's come from Trent Baalke. No one at Michigan really said that Harbaugh's hard to work with. No one at Stanford. No one at San Diego. We'll see if anyone says it at the Chargers. But it was literally that one guy. And then the Niners owner published a bunch of stories about it. He sided with Baalke, thinking that he was the mastermind behind that playoff run and not Jim Harbaugh. I mean, he went to the Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick. So then pushes Harbaugh out. Luckily, Harbaugh comes to Michigan. If he didn't push him out and he would have settled with Jim, and then he would have gave him this roster, like if they would have brought in, if everything else stayed the same, they get rid of Baalke though, and they bring in, is it John Lynch is their GM now?
Yep.
Like, let's say they bring in Lynch and he gets this team. This team this year was a Harbaugh special. You get his guy, Christian McCaffrey. He coached him at Stanford. He has big possession receivers, killer running game. Basically, Deebo Samuel is like what he used Donovan Edwards like at Michigan. So it's basically like Harbaugh's offense all the way down with a quarterback that people underestimate. A Jim Harbaugh team. I guarantee that Harbaugh would have probably won those two Super Bowls that Shanahan had. I think if he would have stayed there the entire run, San Francisco probably has two Super Bowls. Instead, Michigan has a national championship. So people that are saying I'm crazy, he just won the national championship of Michigan. I would say at the very least, he would have won one Super Bowl. The Niners had a double-digit lead in both Super Bowls against the Chiefs. This year, they come down. Harbaugh, remember, he went for 4th-and-2 against Bama when they didn't need to. They could have punted and got the ball back and then made for the run. He went for it on 4th-and-2. It was similar to how the Niners kept settling for field goals, and it was like 4th-and-short. It's like, what are you doing? Go for the kill shot, because you're just giving the ball back to Mahomes. And honestly, watching the game, I saw a lot of people complaining that the Chiefs weren't called for offensive holding and that there should have been some sacks. Maybe. But I thought a lot of the calls went against the Chiefs. And I didn't really care either way. But there were a lot of spots where, and I saw this happen against Michigan, like whenever they're trying to push Harbaugh out this year with all that stuff. There were a lot of games where a guy gets up past, it looks like he got clearly gets the first down, and they mark him a yard short. It's like, why did you mark him a yard short? That happened 3 times against the Chiefs, where their guy caught the ball and they marked him a good yard short. And then I think one of the last drives that he had to go for it on 4th down because they didn't challenge it, and they ran up to the line of scrimmage and tried to just push the ball ahead, and they didn't get it. And I thought, just challenge the spot or wait for them to challenge it, because it looked like it was he very clearly had the first down, but because they ran up, they never reviewed it. And then it turned into a fourth and short. And it was like, you guys are going to blow it because you didn't wait for the refs. And that happened to Michigan. I'm pretty sure. I think it was at the Ohio State game maybe or something, where it was like, oh, that's an easy first down. And then everyone I'm watching the game with is like, why the hell did they spot it like way back there? And they never reviewed it. The same thing. Michigan's like, we're going to run to the line and get it. And I can't remember if Michigan ended up getting that play or not, but that's what I remember. The Chiefs did that. And that made me think that the refs kind of want the Niners to win. And I think the reason behind that is if the Niners would have won, they clearly think that Mahomes is going to be back again. They think that the Niners are going to be back again. I think they're the favorites for next year. If they're battling it out, swapping Super Bowl wins, it's easier for the NFL to sell as kind of like a Steelers-Cowboys rivalry. They haven't had that. Even with the Giants beating the Patriots twice, they never got to see a third matchup. They didn't split. Giants won both of them. So kind of like weirdly affected Tom Brady's legacy for a while until he won with Tampa Bay. Now, the Chiefs just beating up on the Niners, it's not really a rivalry. And there was one play at the end. The Niners got the ball. I think it was overtime. And the Chiefs stopped them. And they called defensive holding, which was an insane call because the Chiefs guy fell off balance. He purposely put his arms out with his fist clenched, his hands clenched his fists, so that he purposely wasn't holding. And the Niners guy ran into him and they bailed the Niners out. And I thought, that's pass interference. That is not holding. He did not pull that guy. That guy ran into him on purpose. That should not have been a hold. And that let the 49ers drive all the way down and get a field goal. And it, without that hold, I thought that was insane. Even their defensive coach, they showed him during the game and he's like, he didn't even touch him. He ran into him like in the replay clearly showed. They only showed it one time and then they quickly didn't show it again because they were like, oh, that's a clear hold. And then they went away from it. But I was like, he didn't hold. And they know he didn't hold. He bit on the fake and he was going down. If the receiver would have cut it inside a little bit, he would have had a wide open touchdown. But the thing is, he didn't hold him. So for that to be pass interference, Purdy would have had to throw the ball. He didn't throw the ball yet. So that should have just been incidental contact. And that extended the drive. And I thought, if the Chiefs win this, and all I keep seeing on Twitter going into that was how the Chiefs were holding and how the refs were in their pocket. I thought, I'm going to feel bad for Chiefs fans after that. Because that's a clear ripoff call. And it ultimately didn't affect them. It's not like the Chiefs were playing great anyway. Man, they had five fumbles. Five fumbles. They only lost one. Why are they fumbling so much? And that early fumble would have put the game away, to be honest, because they were going in for a score. And that kind of would have gave them all the momentum. The Niners had their one fumble that they lost on the punt. And then McCaffrey lost another one, I think. But
I thought that was crazy off the muff punt. The Chiefs ran like a pretty common play where the inside receiver goes deep outside and the outside receiver goes deep inside.
Yeah.
And it's called switch verticals, but it's like, it's a play that literally every level of football runs. And usually you see it more during 7-on-7 because it's usually like a play that takes longer to develop. And a lot of coaches like just don't have the pass protection to be able to really run it regularly during games. But it was like, I watched it. I was like, hey, there's a play that literally everyone runs, and the same result in the Super Bowl. Guys just running free down the middle of the field.
What did you think of that trick play that McCaffrey scored on? That throwback?
Everything. Yeah, I always... Bobby Bowden was always good for trying to have some kind of trick play or wrinkle. I feel like if you can execute it, it's great, but those are the things that, like, I always stressed about because I feel like if you put so much effort into that during the week and you're having trouble executing it, I would have a hard time calling it on game day.
Well, when it happened, I thought it was going to be called back because of the way it was thrown. Like, I thought he threw it kind of downfield, and they tackled that guy that was going for the interception. Because they showed it the replay. They're like, oh, if he didn't get pushed, if he didn't get blocked, I'm like, they just threw him to the ground. That's not blocking him. You can't just block him in the back. That should have been pass interference. And then I would have thought, well, maybe it was behind the line of scrimmage. But the play took forever, and they never really showed a replay. Because, like, I feel like they got caught twice. They're like, let's look at the replay. Oh, yeah, that should have been a penalty. And then they never showed the replay because of that. It was that one and then the other holding one I mentioned. Because, like, they think the crew realized, like, oh, that shouldn't be it. I'm looking to see if I can find it when I watch this. But it's hard to tell. Like, I guess he was behind the line. It's hard with a double pass. Because if it's behind the line, can they have linemen downfield?
They shouldn't.
Because that's the other thing that someone else said when I was watching. Like, I was looking to see what people were saying. They're like, "How that should have." Like, I don't see how there was no way there was no penalty on that play, just because that guy blocked like way downfield. He's way behind. He's like 5 yards ahead of the stick. I just watched the play, and I get maybe it was a trick play, but like remember they pulled the Lions out of the home field advantage with that trick play. And so I'm just surprised that, because what are they at? The 21. Of course, the NFL's own stream isn't going to work. I have to watch some random guy, his crappy cell phone footage of his TV. It's like the NFL can't figure out how to get clips so that people can just watch them. And then they're like, why are no one watching our highlights or engaging with our highlights on social media? It's like, this is why, buddy. This is why. I literally can't bring it up on the show. So 21, yeah, it is behind the line of scrimmage. That guy is way downfield. He's already down by the 15-yard line. The guy that blocks in the back, whatever guy that is it 54? It's hard to see. They throw that one guy down, and then he's a good bit out. But that's what I thought, because normally if it's a screen pass, maybe the NFL rules are different. Maybe I'm thinking of college, but I think if it's behind the line of scrimmage, then people can engage and block because it's a screen. But that was the one where I thought, even if you can't just grab a guy and block him in the back so that he can't intercept the ball. I mean, the Niners guy dives to knock him out with the block in the back. It's pretty clear it's a block in the back. Either way, but they let it stand. So that was just another point of when they're doing the officiating, I don't want to hear people complain about how the Niners got ripped, because they didn't get ripped. They had almost an 80% chance to win in regulation. They had almost an 80% chance, over an 80% chance to win in overtime. What did you think about the overtime decision to take the ball?
I mean, hindsight's 20/20. If they drive down and score and put the pressure on, you know, I don't think it's terrible.
But see, that's the new rule. That's what I don't think. You have to take the ball first, because the new rule is both teams get a chance. So if you kick a field goal, they kick a field goal. If you get the next field goal, you win. Why would you want the ball second? If they score a touchdown, you have to score a touchdown. Because even Andy Reid said after the game, we prepped for it. If we got the ball second, we knew that we had to go for two because they could win with the field goal. Like, there's an unfair advantage where the second team, if it goes touchdowns, the best play analytically is to go for two. If you both get field goals, then you're kind of stuck. That's why he said they weren't playing for a field goal, because they knew that if the Niners got the ball back, it's much easier to get a long field goal after like two passes than it is to drive all the way down and get a touchdown. But the Niners' comments were like, that's what screamed poor coaching to me and why I brought up the Harbaugh thing earlier. Their players were saying that they didn't know that the overtime rules had changed. And I get that that's kind of crazy, but I also don't think you should blame it on the coach. Because the best analogy would be like, say you're a mechanic. You're working at a dealership and like they made some changes, like their cars are now all electric. Someone brings it in, you're like, whoa. I was just making changes. I thought it was just a regular old car. And he's like, the dealer or the owner didn't tell me that we stopped making them that way. Like, that's how dumb it sounds, right? It's like, buddy, that's your job. You're an NFL player. You could be playing for a different team. They could trade you to the Niners. You're supposed to know the rules. Coach doesn't have to explain to you at practice, hey, just in case you know, if we go to overtime, we're getting the ball first. Like, he doesn't have to do that. And he said that he discussed it with his staff and they knew what to do. And Andy Reid said that they had discussed it with his players. So maybe that's the difference. But what's the difference if the players know, hey, we're going to get the ball first, which, I mean, they'd wanted the ball first. They said it. The players out there with the coin toss. So it wasn't like they were confused. I just thought it was funny that they were like, I forgot that they changed the rule too myself, but you got to take the ball first and put the pressure on, like you said, and then know in your mind that even if we, as long as we score, we have a good chance to get the ball back because the clock doesn't matter. Why have the clock? I have no idea. They said that if the possessions don't happen, they just switch sides of the field. But speaking of rule changes, UFL's coming back. Their overtime rules are shootout style. Did you see that?
I believe so, but
they're doing, I think it's from the 5-yard line. Three plays after the three, if it's tied, it's the next one that misses and the other one scores wins. Which I think is kind of dumb. Because I just think of that Penn State-Illinois game where they just kept missing 2-point conversions. Right? So, like, do you really need three of them? But, I mean, I guess it makes sense if you're doing a shootout style. Most shootouts have. But, like, see, with shootouts in hockey and soccer, you're going to have three different guys taking the shot. So if one guy chokes, you have two more chances. Where on offense, you have the same offense, same guys. So they either make it or they don't. I would like it just to be alternating. No field goals, they said, no kicks. So if there's a penalty, it just gets you closer or farther away. You can't like decide, hey, I'm going to bring out the kicker instead. You have to go throw for it. So that makes a difference. Maybe that's what they're thinking. It will nullify like penalties taken in, but that's part of the game. If a guy jumps off sides or whatever. But honestly, in hindsight, I think it was a great game. I didn't really care who won, but at the end of the game, I did find myself, I was standing watching the game, and I was like, if I was at this game would be an awesome game to be at. Just because it's coming down, and you had the inevitable feel that the Niners were the better team, and they're choking this away. They're choking it away. The Chiefs messed up on their drive in regulation. If their player didn't run all the way down the field and didn't get back on time for them to spike the ball, I think they ended up wasting another 20 seconds or something insane. They would have won in regulation. I'm convinced the game never would have went to overtime if that one guy wasn't all the way downfield. And I'm surprised that Andy Reid just didn't call a timeout. Because they had another one. And they knew that they had a field goal. You have Mahomes. Just tell him, don't take a sack, dude. And I'm pretty sure he's smart enough not to take a sack. But all the Mahomes haters, man, they have to be silenced now. Because he ran for two of the first downs that kept that ending drive in overtime, I think. Alive, the fourth down one. He ran for himself. And then there was another big play where he just took off. And got him all the way down in field goal range. And then I knew it was over. Because the Niners were like shit in the bed. They couldn't do anything on defense. And they had the better defense. And I know the guy...
I wonder how much that linebacker injury really took.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I knew the one guy got hurt. And he's the guy that made the two interceptions, I think, in the other playoff games. But I also wonder, is it coaching? Because they're behind. The Niners were behind to both the Lions and the Packers. And to me, they were the most talented team in the league. So for Niners fans watching this game, I don't know how you don't feel disappointed. Because like you brought up the Michigan-Washington one. Michigan was the much better team. Beating Bama, that was more of an even matchup. Could have gone either way. But like, if you'd have lost to Washington, I would have just been devastated knowing that was Michigan's best chance for a national championship. The Niners are like, we'll be back next year. It's like, will you? Because you had the chance with Garoppolo, had a big lead, choked. had a lead against the Chiefs, choked. They said about the extra point. I mean, the guy clearly slipped. I know he's a Michigan guy, so I'm not making excuses for him. But he slipped because they had that stupid, huge Super Bowl painting on the field. Why? I don't know. I don't know why they just didn't move him to kick from the hash, because I think you can do that, right? I think I've seen guys do that. But maybe he didn't expect to be slipping on that stupid paint. But he made all his field goals. And one of them I thought was the longest, but then they said the Chiefs guy had the longest in Super Bowl history. Maybe his was in... I don't even know when they kicked the field goal that would have been longer. Because I swear when the Niners got kicked at the end of the game, they were like, that's the longest in NFL history. And then after the game, I saw a graphic where it's like, the Chiefs guy had it. I'm like, what the hell did I miss? Because I know they didn't kick an overtime. They scored a touchdown to win. So when did he kick that field goal? Warm-ups. I don't know what the, and it was like a, the record wasn't even that long. It was like 50 something yards. And I thought, that's the longest in Super Bowl history? 50 something yards? I thought it'd be 60 at least. 59. I think it was like 57 maybe. But who knows? Great game. Chiefs dynasty possibly still alive. Mahomes is young. They got rid of Tyreek Hill. And now he's winning with Tom Brady-esque players, right? A big tight end that's like on TV. It's basically he recreated Tom Brady's team. Just he had Gronk on TV, and now he has Kelce on TV. Gronk dating, I don't know what the hell he was dating, models, partying. He didn't date a Taylor Swift, that's for sure. But a bunch of receivers that no one remembers their name. Some running backs that people aren't going to be putting on their top fantasy line anytime, right? Kittle got hurt too. I don't know if you caught that. But that would have been another thing for their offense to kind of shut them down on that last drive. But I'll be honest, the Chiefs defensive coordinator really impressed me. Putting pressure, he put pressure both times in the regulation drive, where the Niners had a chance for a third down play that would have iced the game. He got pressured right in Purdy's face. He knew where they were going to throw it. And then in overtime, pressure in his face. And they had a guy that would have been wide. They had two guys wide open on the final play of the Niners offensive night. And he had to throw it out of bounds, kind of. Because if you'd have stepped into it, he had, was it Ayuk maybe? On a post. His defender fell. But he didn't have time to look to the left. He just threw it way out to the right. So that would have been, I mean, it probably would have went to the third drive, like I said. And maybe they went on a field goal instead. I don't know. Because I think the Chiefs still would have scored. And they probably would have went for two or whatever they said they were going to do. Which would have been more devastating, right? Losing on a two-point conversion? Or losing on the touchdown? Because the touchdown was almost anticlimactic. Because some players said they didn't know the game was over because they thought they got another chance. I'm like, why would you think that? And then another player said they clearly announced it on the board that it was the final drive. So I'm like, maybe the players were just talking? I don't get it. I wasn't at the game, so I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about in the Super Bowl?
No.
I think those are all my points. I know we went pretty long on it. I figured I would. Because I honestly thought it was a great game. And now the Chiefs going back. I mean, they had similar records. Niners were only 12-5. Which, again, how do you have one of the most talented teams and end up 12-5? Coaching. Chiefs weren't that talented. That's why I said that was like a Tom Brady special. I did have the stats comparing. People are saying Mahomes is like the greatest Super Bowl quarterback already. Not true. His stats compared to Joe Montana. Joe Montana was 11 touchdowns in 4 Super Bowls, no interceptions. Over 1,000 yards, 127 quarterback rating. Mahomes.
Wasn't there that game, that Super Bowl that Joe Montana lost?
No, he didn't lose any.
No, because Joe doesn't lose Super Bowls.
And that wasn't even in the passing era. He had more passing yards than Mahomes has had. Mahomes only had 1,071. Montana had 1,142. Mahomes had 7 touchdowns, so less. 5 interceptions, including one against the Niners, I think. It was only one. And then for an 85 quarterback rating. So for all the people that are saying, oh, Mahomes so much better than like Tom Brady, their stats in the Super Bowl are kind of the same, right? I don't know what Tom Brady's stats are in the Super Bowl. I should look that up real quick. But I just saw people posting the Joe Montana one because it's like everyone kept saying, oh, defense won Tom Brady that Super Bowl. Defense won that Tom Brady that Super Bowl. And then Mahomes, his stats are just as bad, if not worse. So what did he, I mean, they have all this. Mahomes is thrown for blah, blah, blah. They don't even have the Super Bowl in here. I hate NBC. Why would you do a comparison and then not put the stats? That doesn't make any sense. They're just giving the record. Like, everyone knows Tom Brady has more Super Bowls, guys. What did he have? This is what we need. Tom Brady's Super Bowl history. Where was his final record? He was only 6 interceptions. He had 18 touchdowns. He threw for 2,000 yards, but he played at 9 of them. So he's like 6 more. But Mahomes already almost has as many interceptions as he has total in way less games. He could beat him in touchdowns, but Tom Brady has a Super Bowl record for touchdowns. So wait, he doesn't have the record for Super Bowl interceptions? Oh my gosh, is that Terry Bradshaw? Jim Kelly? You would think the guy that played in the most would have the most interceptions, right? I'm going to look that up now. That would be funny if that was the only stat that Mahomes had better. Oh, it's John Elway, dude.
I was just going to say, I bet it's John Elway.
I didn't even think of him. 8. Jim Kelly had 7, so he also was ahead. And then, ooh, Craig Morton had 7 in 2 games. 2 games. Could you imagine? That's like the Neil O'Donnell, baby. So Tom had 6, so he's not even, he's top 4, but he's 4th. Elway, then Kelly had 7. Kelly only played in 4 games. So that's embarrassing. Tom Brady played in 10 Super Bowls, and John Elway in half the games had more interceptions. I guess, yeah, John Elway did get killed in that Niners one, wasn't it? Like 90-something, or it was 50-something to nothing or whatever. It was like 90, 91, something like that. Yikes. Anything else you have for the NFL? I wanted to talk about Mitch Trubisky getting cut, but I'll make sure you get some, anything else you have before that.
I did see with Shanahan losing, people giving him a lot of grief, but I almost feel like for as much flack as he could and probably should get for losing the Super Bowls, you know, people forget Andy Reid was in the same predicament where he was losing, like he lost the Super Bowl to Brady. He lost he was like the coach who couldn't get past the NFC Championship game, and it took him another 15 years after he had that string of success to get back on his feet in Kansas City and get them in that position where they're winning Super Bowls now. So, I mean, I think he still has time to make his mark. He just has to, you know, wait it out another almost 2 decades.
Well, that's where people are like, Andy Reid is the best coach of all time. It's like, is he? He just won with Mahomes. The people are knocking Belichick, but in the same breath, they're saying Andy Reid is better. It's like, is he really better? I don't know. I mean, I guess he did get to the Super Bowl with McNabb, but it wasn't like he's been lighting it up forever, right? So I almost wonder if, like, coaching, if you're talking about the greatest coaches, like, who has done it with more teams or even just more guys? Like, now he's done it longer, so maybe just because he's been there forever? But watching Mahomes, that's the difference. Because, like, I was talking about the Steelers quarterbacks. Every quarterback that lost in the playoffs, Josh Allen, Jordan Love, they were trying to throw deep. There were three plays where Mahomes clutched it like he wanted to go deep, realized that's a really dumb throw if I make that, because if the defense makes a play and intercepts it or tips it up and gets intercepted, we lose. And instead, he dinks and dunks it down, because sometimes it's better when you know the situation. Hey, we're not running out of time. Like, Jordan Love didn't have to try to throw that in triple coverage. Josh Allen didn't have to go to the end zone. He had a guy underneath. Check it down. Know the situation. And that's to me, that's what Mahomes and Tom Brady are doing best. Like, Tom Brady did it. Everyone made fun of him for, like, cutting down. He knows when to take his shots. Mahomes does the same thing. At the end of the game, he's moving around in the pocket, running for first downs, not putting the ball in harm's way. And that's a key difference for some of these quarterbacks. Where the Steelers right now, cut Trubisky. I said Trubisky was never the answer. So even bringing him in set them back, I think. Now you have Pickett and Rudolph. Do you bring both back? Do you try to make a move? Because you have Mahomes in your conference. What are you going to do to beat him?
Well, you have Mahomes in the in the conference. I mean, within the division, you have Burrow, you have Lamar, you have Watson or Flacco.
Well, that's where the Browns were all good until Flacco choked in the playoffs. But if he would have won a few games in the playoffs, I think the Browns would have been like, oh my gosh, we could have had this guy the whole time. We didn't even need Watson. They had Baker. Baker is what, the most successful Browns QB of all time? In terms of success, right? Getting them, they've never made the Super Bowl, have they?
Yeah.
Or maybe back in the day before my time, but that's why I thought it was dumb for them to get rid of Baker. And then to see him have success with the Bucs, it's like Browns fans have to be disappointed. They just had a little bit of hype with Flacco, but if, say, Baker gets the Bucs to the Super Bowl in the next couple years, Browns fans have to be livid. And that's why the Steelers right now, unfortunately, they're in a tough spot because they're in a conference that is quarterback loaded. And that's like just bringing up, going back to Harbaugh, just to reiterate my comment from a couple weeks ago, I thought it was dumb for him to take the Chargers job because Herbert hasn't done shit. Now you have to beat Mahomes twice in the same year. And I bring it up because Andy Reid talked about it in this post-game conference. He's like, our division's getting tougher because now we have Harbaugh coming in. And he said that he liked the direction of the Raiders with Pierce being brought back, right? So Reid talked about how hard it's going to be for them to keep winning. But I'm like, if you're a new coach coming in, why are you going to go there? I brought up the Raiders too because I think it was Ayuk. His brother was posting on social media about how the Niners only threw to him three times in the Super Bowl. Time for him to go to the Raiders. And I'm like, why would you go to the Raiders? It would be funny to have him and Devontae Adams on the same team, right? Might have to rethink. I'm going to have to use my keeper on Devontae Adams, right? Come on, baby. Two big-time guys like that, they can't double cover Devontae Adams anymore, right? It'd be awesome. But I think that's where the Steelers right now, don't shoot for the moon with the quarterback. Build the base. Fix the defense. Fix the run game. Fix the run game. That's what the 49ers did. 49ers have a guy that everyone hates at quarterback because they think he should be a bust. But because they have Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuels, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because the run game is so potent that their quarterback, and he made some great plays, I'll give him credit. I'm not a Purdy hater. I thought he was good in college. I think he basically elevated Matt Campbell up. And now Matt Campbell's back down. I think it's pretty clear that it was him and Breece Hall, right? We're just two studs at Iowa State of all teams. They should be making coins dedicated to them, not their Gene Chizik. But that's my thoughts on it. Steelers, don't shoot for the moon and try to bring in a quarterback to fix your offensive problem. Fix the run game. That's my thoughts on it. You have anything else you want to add?
there's one quarterback that I think could solve Pittsburgh's problems. I think they got to pull the trigger with New Orleans and bring my boy home.
You're talking about Derek Carr.
Jameis Winston, buddy. Bring a winner in.
Are you talking about Jameis Winston every year, I feel like, to the Steelers? So if he would come there, would you buy a jersey is the question.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I'd even go to camp just to try to listen to the sound bites.
So I'm looking at some of the headlines here, too, about like quarterbacks. People are talking about Usher's show was crap. I'm like, I didn't think it was that bad of a halftime show. But I was looking to see, because I thought you said that some people were talking about Fields going to the Steelers. And that's the kind of move that I'm talking about them not making.
I mean, I do think that there's a possibility they may make a move for Fields. Because if they're asking a two and an additional pick next year, I mean, it's likely to do that, especially if the Bears are really high on taking Caleb Williams. They may be in a spot where they're looking to just get enough pieces that they can guarantee they're going to get the quarterback that they want. You know, I partially joke about Jameis because I don't think that it's plausible for him to go to the Steelers. But honestly, I mean, that's the thing that Pittsburgh has missed since Roethlisberger's retired. Like, they needed a big quarterback with a strong arm that just...
I thought you were going to say off the field issues.
Bounces off defenders and fires it downfield, and you're like, what the hell is he doing? Like, he checks all of those boxes. He's going to throw four touchdowns, and then he's going to throw four interceptions. You're going to be like, what the hell's going on?
But is that the kind of offense you want to watch?
Anything's better than the runny diarrhea that we've watched the last 5 years.
That's where I just don't know where they go. I think you just build a heavy run game and you try to win with no quarterback.
Well, I agree that I think the run game needs addressed, and I felt like they were moving in that direction with drafting the linemen, drafting the tight end. I feel like they're going that direction, but my concern is that, is it even going to matter? Like, they bring Arthur Smith in. How much variation are we going to see in his offense compared to what we've seen from name the last handful of coordinators? You know, I feel like it's almost like that's the style of offense that Tomlin wants. And whoever comes in is like just given Tomlin's playbook is like, here, run this. Because every year we've complained about some of the quick screens and stuff like that that go nowhere. And we're like, oh, we need to have a better run game. And then we still just run inside zone and
hey,
it goes nowhere.
I spent the last couple of years watching the conservative Jim Harbaugh offense. I've been begging for some screens, buddy. I need to see something. I'd rather see that than a guy plowing up the middle three times.
You've been getting some power out of it anyhow. It's not just straight inside zone and dive.
Yeah. That's because our guys are good. In the NFL, everyone's kind of the same. That's why I looked a little bit before at the salary cap issues for some teams, and I'm like, Steelers have some room to make moves. Chargers are still negative $44 million. And now I was wondering if the Steelers could get a guy like Eckler. Because Eckler is basically the Le'Veon Bell that they've been missing. He fits that mold of the guy that, like you're talking about, when Ben was there, Bell had, he could create. He wasn't just a running back. He was an everything back. And they haven't had that. So if the Chargers can't get a deal done with him, and I know Harbaugh said that he's been wanting one, but I'm looking at their salary cap and I'm thinking, I don't care if you say you want one. You're going to have to make some cuts, buddy. So I have a feeling that Eckler is going to be with a new team. Unless they do something crazy. Why don't the Steelers get him? That's what they need. They need a guy in the backfield that can create. Put Najee Harris and then tell him, hey, we're done just shoving you into this receiving role. Because the other back, Warren, they were using him as a pure running back and he looked better. I think if you bump them down and give Najee Harris his touches and then have Eckler take the direction they were trying to go with Najee Harris, I think the offense looks a lot better. It automatically fixes itself because I feel like they're trying to make everybody Le'Veon Bell, and he was just so patient and able to catch the ball and make stuff happen that he kind of broke their system. And they don't have a guy like that. But that's what Eckler has been doing with the Chargers, so why not go for it? And he can power in and break big runs. He's getting older, so maybe they can get him at a discount. Because I feel like they need guys that are veterans that can make plays that want to win. Eckler hasn't won anything. I feel like going to the Steelers would be a good sell for him. Like, hey, we're a big time franchise. Most Super Bowls. We want to win. Come here. We have the offense for you. It's a good selling point. But real quick, just some college stuff. I think the big news coming back is ESPN is trying to lock in the playoff rights going forward. And I think it's a huge mistake from the Big Ten to let this happen in college football in general. ESPN's been making some big moves. They've been investing a ton of money down here in North Carolina. They bought Epic. They bought a percentage. I don't know how much of it, for like $1.5 billion in Epic Games, which is down here near where I live. And they make Fortnite. And they're talking about doing like digital experiences and things like that because their earnings were up. And then they said that they're going to start selling ESPN packages as a standalone streaming app. But that doesn't help me because the Big Ten just did their TV deal with Over the Air, which is better for me. Because people keep telling me, oh, it's going to suck for Big Ten. Because down here, everyone's so pro-SEC for some reason, which is insane because we're an ACC country, baby. Maybe Disney investing in North Carolina means they're going to reinvest in the ACC. They need something to put on this channel because I'm not going to buy it. I don't care. I don't care if they put the playoffs on it. You could buy for 1 month and cancel. If I have to pay... Because you have to pay for 2 months because it would be December and January unless you can time it to where you only pay for 1 month. I'm assuming it's going to be like $50 or it'll probably be like 20 to start or something. And then like 2 years later, they'll be like, yeah, we have to raise it to 50 and everyone will just kind of be locked in. But ESPN doesn't put enough on for me to pay for standalone ESPN. The only thing that really bothers me missing is maybe Monday Night Football would probably be on there. And college football playoffs. So I was hoping that it would just be like the NFL where 1 year it's on Fox, 1 year it's on CBS, 1 year it's on NBC, and I can watch whatever. Because those are the networks that bought the Big Ten. So everyone telling me that it's going to be hard to watch Michigan football, stop. Even if Michigan's bad, they're most likely going to be picked for NBC or one of the third picks. They're not going to be shoved to ESPN. Like, there's just not that many big brands in the Big Ten that are going to be, like, no one's going to watch. People would rather watch Michigan play Indiana than Oregon play Iowa, probably, most years, on major networks. And that's Iowa is, like, a good Western school. They just don't have the TV numbers. You can go back and look that up. Like, no one's watching Oregon. That's why the Pac-12 didn't get any TV bids. They only watch Oregon if they're playing Ohio State or Michigan. Or Washington or USC, which isn't going to happen every week. So they'll get the ESPN2 treatment with Beth Mowins, baby. Oregon, welcome. Welcome. Welcome to the Big Ten. I know that they're not going to get her anymore, not being on ESPN going forward, but that's what we'll be seeing. We'll be stuck with like the Tony Romo of broadcasters. So bad news for college football. There are some other things. I know we want to talk about the college football predictions because they're moving around a lot, and But I think we kind of went kind of long, or I guess we're at normal time. I don't remember when we officially started. But the one thing is we're still playing the Portal game, where I think Bama, their time might be up soon, if not already, right? When did Nick Saban retire?
Yes, their time to poach is out. But there's speculation that if Andy Reid chooses to retire, that Kirby Smart might be the name to try to replace him with the Chiefs.
But see, well, this is where I've heard some conflicting things, because Alabama's offensive coordinator just got hired by the Seahawks. So does that give them a running clock? Is it only head coaches for players to transfer, Matt? Do you
know? I think it's just head coaches.
Because that's the one thing they were talking about, because Michigan's been having their coaches, it seems like Harbaugh's been stretching it out on who they're hiring, and it's taken forever. So everyone's like worried that, well, this clock's taken forever. When is Michigan officially off the clock? Because they haven't really lost anybody, which, I mean, it's. I feel like I wasn't really too worried. I did think it was funny because Michigan has the most guys invited to the NFL Combine, and they had 18. And 19. A lot of the, I think, is it 19?
It's 19, because Florida State has 12, and Washington has 13. And Texas and Bama have 11 and 10, so we've had more than two of the people that made the playoff, but go on Herb Street and talk about how they weren't deserving.
Well, I thought it was funny at the beginning of the year when I looked into summer, and Harbaugh said he thought they had 20 players that could be drafted next year. And everyone laughed. And even I saw comments from like the big name writers saying, we didn't think Michigan wasn't talented. We just didn't think they had 20. But Michigan had guys like Donovan Edwards come back that would have easily pushed them to 20. Because they had a couple, I think three or four guys that could have been drafted this year came back as upperclassmen when they didn't have to. I'm not saying they're going to be first round guys. Donovan Edwards probably would have been drafted pretty high because he's fast. If you don't remember from the national championship game, if you didn't watch it. But Michigan had a good chance, and that's not even the guys that could be drafted. Because like guys that don't get invited to the combine still can get picked in a later round. So I wonder what the number is going to be. I think the record's 15. So now not everyone going to that's going to get picked. But we'll see what happens. Because like Michigan had a very talented team. That's why everyone laughed at me last year having confidence. It's like, come on, that was a legendary team that everyone came back for. That really doesn't happen anymore, even with NIL. And that's where I was wondering, like, if coaches leave, like the Bama offensive coordinator, he had just got hired from Washington, does the clock start? And then there were rumors that Jed Fish was interviewing at UCLA. So could you imagine if he took the Washington job and then went to UCLA? I don't know if he actually did interview, but that would have been insane. Like, hey, we hired you. It's like, no, guys, sorry. I like UCLA better. It's like, why? We were just in the national championship game. UCLA has never been there. It's like, yeah, but I like them better. Just a little bit better. Because that's who Florida wants, right? I don't know if you're aware of that. I think Jed Fish went to Florida, maybe. I don't even know. But Florida's convinced that he would coach them if they could figure out a way to line it up when he's looking for new jobs. But he just hasn't been able to do it. So that could be another guy to watch.
But the way the schedule's aligned, Florida just has an absolute brutal schedule this year. That I don't think it matters what he does. He's going to get canned.
Well, I know the feeling. Michigan has a brutal schedule, and I'm like, a bunch of new coaches coming in, hiring guys like Wink on defense. I'm like, no.
But it's not that bad, because you don't have to suffer the grind of an SEC schedule.
Hey, Michigan was faster than Bama. Didn't you see that game? All our guys running for touchdowns, Matt. National champs.
That's because they were tired from having to play a tougher schedule. When you play a bunch of Indianas and Rutgers, of course you're going to be fresh.
I remember I made that point that Harbaugh weakened up the non-conference schedule, and everyone's making fun of Michigan, and I'm like, it's clearly to stay healthy. Like, it was pretty clear. I know they were supposed to play UCLA or Washington or one of those teams last year, but easier schedule is the route to go. You already play non-conference games. Why? Why are you ever playing a Notre Dame when they ran away first? Notre Dame canceled the Michigan contract, scared. And then they're like, we're open to playing. And Michigan's like, nah, dog. We'll play in like 20 years or whenever they scheduled that game back out. And people were like excited for it. But I'm like, we don't need them right now. Let them join the Big Ten because our conference is already getting too hard. You don't need to throw another game. Like, Michigan has Texas coming in next year. Why? Why are we doing that to ourselves? Cancel that game. Cancel the Oklahoma game. I don't care. With the expanded playoffs, we have a good chance of seeing them there. Let us warm up. What did we have last year, Matt? East Carolina, Boise State, or not Boise State, Bowling Green, and UNLV. Is that our schedule? That's the kind of schedule I want to see going forward. I don't care about the Big Ten games. Losing, like Ohio State, that year they won the championship. If they didn't play Virginia Tech, they probably would have been undefeated. And then people could be saying that that was an undefeated Ohio State team. Luckily, they never had 15-0 because of Virginia Tech, Matt. I bet they regret that game. That's all I have. Anything else you want to talk about today?
The legal proceedings, they have an initial date set for the big fight between FSU and the ACC. They're currently trying to get the case dismissed in North Carolina and just have it exclusively run.
Oh, really, Matt? The same state that Disney just poured all that money into economically?
Yes, in the same state where ACC just fielded all of their Olympic sports, or they just set all these conference championships for set to be in Charlotte and Greensboro.
See?
They added all those West Coast schools and like, yeah, we're gonna geographically set it right in the middle. Come to North Carolina where our stupid Raycom sports is there where no one will watch you.
Why are you dogging on North Carolina? It's nice down here, Matt. That's what Stanford gets. Shouldn't have joined them. Should have stayed in the Pac-2. Could have been a Pac-4. If someone says, like, man, I got a 4-pack, you're like, that's pretty good. Not quite a 6-pack, but that's that's pretty good. So now they're down to 2. A 2-pack, no one believes. Stanford could have stayed there, and instead they're teaming up with SMU for some reason, and people are telling me that SMU-Florida State's a big-time game. I'm like, why would that be a big-time game? It's like, what are you talking about? SMU, if Michigan played SMU, people would be saying, what an awful schedule. Why would they schedule that dirt team? Not a big game at all, Matt. Not a big game at all. So why does Florida State get that bump up? Not fair. It's not fair. You have to have the same tough schedule that we have if you want it to count. East Carolina doesn't count. SMU doesn't count. They're from the same conference. Even the college football playoff payouts. Did you see that? SMU is like, I thought we were getting ACC payouts. And they're like, no. But because they're private, I don't think they even leaked what they're paying them, but it's less than what they thought. And they're like, okay, we'll just take whatever you guys say. And they're like, we can't believe you let Cincinnati get full payouts. And they're like, Cincinnati made the playoffs, guys. You're not really that tough. We'll leave it at that. But all right. We're not really officially going into the off season because UFL, right? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
That should be starting. So hopefully that brings in some new viewers when we start to hit on that. It's going to be a little bit easier to just have one league to focus on. Got some draft stuff coming up. College spring practices should be kicking up. And we have some spring games coming up soon. So we'll have plenty of football to talk about. Tell your friends, and we will see you next week.